Welcome to Australian Women Preach, a podcast that aims to raise women's voices in preaching the gospel. Our intention is to model the church we want to be, inclusive, diverse, and welcoming. Brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. Nikki Bowles is prayer pastor at Riverview Church, a large contemporary community of Jesus followers in Perth. She's committed to helping people connect with God in deeper ways and walk their spiritual journeys in freedom. Nikki holds a graduate diploma of divinity from Vos Seminary, now Morling College in Perth, and has been pastoring for 8 years after a midlife career change from her previous career as a paramedic with St John Ambulance WA.
Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." This interaction between Jesus and the Pharisees is recorded in three of the Gospels. It starts as a showdown initiated by the Pharisees and ends with an emphatic win to Jesus, as recorded at the end of chapter 22. In being asked a question by the Pharisees that was meant to test him, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus' answer is so traditional that no one could challenge him on it. The command to love God formed part of the Shema prayer that every devout Jew prayed every day, in a tradition that continues to this present time. It had always formed the basis of their law. What did it mean for the Jewish people to love God with all their heart, soul, and mind when they were still in a relationship with God at that time, which was mediated by priests and required regular blood sacrifice to deal with sin? I imagine that any actual experience of intimacy with God was probably rare, but we do see instances of this type of intimacy in the lives of Abraham, Moses, David, and others. However, the Jewish people, God's people, mainly showed the fullness of this type of love corporately by holding to the command to have only one God and to remain faithful and obedient to Him alone, unlike the pagan nations around them. What does it look like then for those of us who live now under the new covenant brought by Jesus? We are all under grace, given the opportunity to experience more of a personal transformative love relationship with our Creator God. This could be seen to be what completes us as human beings. J.I. Packer, in his classic book, Knowing God, writes, "We must not lose sight of the fact that knowing God is an emotional relationship as well as an intellectual and volitional one, and could not indeed be a deep relation between persons, were it not so." And this beautiful quote from the great A.W. Tozer: "The continuous and unembarrassed interchange of love and thought between God and the soul of redeemed man is the throbbing heart of New Testament religion." A command to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul has to be seen as a holistic and all-consuming concept, utilizing every part of us that makes us human and spiritual beings. It cannot be seen as a lukewarm or half-hearted endeavor. The Message translation of this same passage in Luke 10 writes of loving God with all our passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence. As I think of my personal journey in loving God, I am reminded that learning to love God well is not an instantaneous ability that arrives as soon as we make a decision to follow Jesus. Like any relationship, it evolves over time, mediated and nurtured by His Holy Spirit. We show God that we love Him by giving Him our time, attention, worship, and obedience. It may be simplistic, but I learn about loving God well from our family dog, Storm, the English Staffy. She is a passionate dog who loves people and other dogs with equal abandonment and joy. She sleeps in bed with my son, Zach, and stares lovingly at his face while she lies there. If I am doing things around the house or seated on the couch, she is a shadow to me and sits as close as she can to me when I am still. She expects me to be her provider when she is hungry and needs food, and she is so excited when she knows that it's time for us to go for a walk together. She listens for my voice and responds immediately. Her love reminds me of what it means to love God well. Simple, passionate, faith-filled love, with a desire to spend as much time as possible with the one we love. This command to love God has to involve love in action rather than just feelings. Jesus embodied this in his resolute journey to the sacrifice of the cross and then out the other side in resurrection, ushering in the new covenant with God for all of us, which would change the way we loved God from that time onwards. Jesus' commitment to do the will of his Father would cost him everything. His wholehearted love for his Father embodied in his complete obedience to him. Not my will, but yours be done. 1 John 3:16 tells us this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Bob Goff writes, "The power of love is in the sacrifice and commitment it requires. Sacrifice and commitment always travel with love and action." Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus showed us what this looked like. We love because God first loved us. We love as wounded people. W.H. Auden writes, "You shall love your crooked neighbor with all your crooked heart." But the call to love is inescapable for those who want to follow the commandments of Jesus. Let's return briefly to look at the Pharisees, the group who had asked Jesus the question in the first place. Jesus would follow up with asking them a tricky question that they would be unable to answer. And the passage ends with the classic statement, "From that day on, no one dared ask him any more questions." Jesus would also then go on to roast the Pharisees to the people in his seven woes to the scribes and Pharisees speech. The Pharisees had lost their ability to love God and to love people. They were leaders without hearts, lost in a world of legalistic fervor, small-minded and bound by laws and nitpicking, and judging all except themselves. They wanted the law to be about rules, but Jesus came to show them that it is all about love. In dealing in a fear and control system, they dealt in the opposite to God's system of love. We all live on the edge of this mindset, as it is a constant flesh temptation to us. My prayer is that God would save all of us who call ourselves disciples of Jesus from Pharisaical small-mindedness and condemnation, and lead us to a revelation of Christ's command and call to love, not from within the constraints of law-based religion, but from the freedom of a loving and life-giving relationship with God.
You have been listening to Australian Women Preach, brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and the Grail in Australia. You can find out more about WATAC at watac.net.au and the Grail at grailaustralia.org.au. The music in this podcast is from the song Truth, from the album Into Silence, by songwriter, musician, theologian and teacher Danielle Ann Lynch. You can hear the full version on Spotify.